Just out of interest, I'm in Jamie's Gold Club, and he sent me a personal message this week, which was, I'm sure it wasn't, but he sent a personal video message, and it was like a selfie iPhone video that he'd recorded, the word Dave tattooed on his knuckles, and he was holding his knuckles out towards the camera. And in his true Jamie Oliver style, he says, "Hi Dave, thanks for being a member of the Gold Club, and I'd like to invite you to my restaurant for a free main course anytime you like in the next 2 months. And if you come in the next week, Dave, you can get a free glass of Prosecco too. So come on down, Dave," and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure, obviously, that was a very personal message just to me and not sent out to every other Dave on his mailing list. But but I thought that was very slick.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next event on the card is a heavyweight marketing bout for the small to medium business owner. In the red corner, from Paradise, Australia, is David. And in the blue corner, from an English paradise, is David.
Hey everybody, how you doing? Welcome along to David versus David, the podcast for the small to medium enterprise. Yep, people just like you and I who are out there slogging it out, trying to make a dollar. Well, we look at how you can best do that using advertising and marketing. I'm David Council here in Paradise Hobart, and my good mate, David Pritchard, is in the UK, where he's going to tell you that the weather today is
absolutely gorgeous, which in typical UK fashion makes up for yesterday, which was absolutely rubbish. So there you go. It chucked it down yesterday. The heavens opened and the rain toppled down. And although, in fact, it's still shining on the roads at the moment, but dawn has broken and not a cloud in the sky. Blue skies, early morning sunshine here before 7 a.m. and it looks like it's going to be a goodie. And in fact, the weather forecast also said it was going to be a goodie. So fingers crossed. After this podcast recording, I'll be having a nice little bit of breakfast somewhere sunny. And I might even be out in the garden later on this afternoon. That'd be nice. So enjoy a bit of sunshine. And I think we had a pretty rubbish winter, actually. So we're all hoping that summer here is going to be good. And the way that spring is going at the moment, we are getting our traditional April showers. So it all bodes well for later on in the summer. So how's things with you, David? What have you been up to?
Well, mate, it's another beautiful day here in Paradise. And today I'm coming to you live from the international headquarters of Inferno Marketing and Design, because we've been caught with the change in time from us finishing up summertime to you starting out summertime. I can tell you that it is busy, which is good. But people don't want to know how busy I am anyway.
No.
I'll be very happy when the day comes to an end and I can go home, which is not going to be too far after this podcast. So
we cover all the time zones. We cover the world in geography and time zones, don't we?
Absolutely. Now that'll make May, who puts this together, really happy that we've had our traditional weather chat. I know she looks forward to it. Okay, what are we going to talk about today, David?
I was thinking we could cover something along the lines of what do you measure, what should you measure, and why in your business. There's all sorts of things you can look at, and no doubt some of them are important either to yourself or to people in your business who have their own areas of responsibility. But we thought we'd maybe look at some of the main metrics and really at the end what the crucial ones are, what the biggies are, and that are really most important to the survival and health of your business. There's doubtless things that we each take are aware of in our business, things that you like to see, and hopefully you should be measuring things, because if you don't measure them, you don't know if they're getting better or worse. And I guess it's something that an issue for a lot of small businesses is, of course, the time involved in measuring those things. But as we go through this, maybe towards the end, maybe there might be some crumbs of comfort in there for some people as to, you know, what are the really crucial ones to measure. And then you can look at, as a result of some of those, what are the things that you can then measure to improve along the way. So, you know, maybe there's things that are less important and don't bog yourself down. You know, let's cut through the chaff with a lot of these things and really focus on the important ones. And then when you've got those in hand, you can maybe think about the other things you can measure to maybe improve those metrics as a result. Anything that you particularly look for as you proceed along in your business, David, things that you're monitoring on a daily basis or a weekly basis?
Well, we monitor a lot of the same sort of things that we talk to our clients about. As you'd imagine, I talk to lots and lots of clients about measuring because it's the only way that, as you've said, that you know that your advertising and marketing is working. I was only talking to a restaurant in Toowoomba the other day.
I love these Australian names, you know. They make no sense to anybody else anywhere in the world, but they're fantastic names.
Toowoomba is a lovely name. And you know what? A beautiful place too. If you've never been to Toowoomba, go, because it sits up on top of a range and then looks back over into the valley as you look back towards Brisbane. Absolutely gorgeous place. Anyway, we were talking to this restaurant and we asked them how they knew, you know, whether their radio was working or their television was working or social media was working. And they weren't actually measuring it at all. They were just assuming that it was all working because when they advertise, things get a bit better.
Yep.
And you've really got to get down to the nitty gritty. If you're running television, for example, does the phone start to ring after the ad has gone to air? And the same sort of deal with the radio ads. So, you know, if you know that you've got an ad going off at 9:40 in the morning, did the phone begin to ring as people wanted to book in? These are important things. And what we've asked them to do is beside every phone and every point where someone can book into the restaurant, that they put down a piece of paper that has a list on it. Where did you hear about us? Radio, television, newspaper, billboards, social media. We've given them a whole list. Now, some of these they're not using because if you don't give a few blind questions in there, you know, things that you're not using, then, you know, you really don't know whether or not the bits that you are using is effective. For example, we find that we turn television on and off quite a lot for our clients. You don't necessarily have to be there all of the time for some particular industry types. And some people will say, oh, yes, we heard about you on television. And these businesses might not have run TV for 6 or 7 months.
Right, yeah.
So that's also an interesting thing, because if we've planted the message properly in people's brain, then it's stayed with them. But as I said, most importantly, you want to know if it's cause and effect. I run a TV ad, then the phone starts to ring. So that's a really important thing. The other thing that I think you should always measure is the profitability from generating the lead as well. So the lifetime value of that customer. You know, just to use the restaurant again as an example, if you've advertised, the most expensive customer you will get is always that first customer. You know, getting them to come there that first time, that's usually really expensive. But getting them to come back again can be relatively easy. You may just have an email, or they may see you on social media, and that might be just enough to get them to go, oh, I haven't been there for a while. That'd be great. I'd love to go back again.
Yeah.
So that's been a very low cost way to generate that additional lead. So you've got to work out, if you get them there the first time and they've had a great experience, how many times will they come back and how much more will they spend with you, so that you know you can tangibly tell what that investment is worth to you? Because if you're spending $100 to get someone to make the phone ring and come to your restaurant the first time and they only spend $100, you're actually upside down by the cost of the food, the service, the heating, the rent. So you've got to start to offset, you know, that cost. But if the average lifetime income coming from any particular client, let's say it's $3,000, then you need to know that when you're getting those customers to come back again and again and again, that you want to do that through low-cost methods to help you maximize your profit from that customer. And after all, in the hospitality industry, margins are really tight. I think a lot of people think that restaurateurs make, you know, huge amounts of money. We've all seen the TV shows, you know.
Yeah.
Jamie Oliver seems to be a pretty rich sort of guy. But, you know, Jamie's doing the numbers really well in the background, and that's why.
Yeah.
He's not making massive profits necessarily off that first customer either.
Absolutely.
Not compared to what he makes to them, you know, from his other restaurants.
Just out of interest, I'm in Jamie's Gold Club, and he sent me a personal message this week, which was, I'm sure it wasn't, but he sent a personal video message, and it was like a selfie iPhone video that he'd recorded. The word Dave tattooed on his knuckles, and he was holding his knuckles out towards the camera. And in his true Jamie Oliver style, he says, "Hi Dave, thanks for being a member of the Gold Club, and I'd like to invite you to my restaurant for a free main course anytime you like in the next 2 months. And if you come in the next week, Dave, you can get a free glass of Prosecco too. So come on down, Dave," and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure, obviously, that was a very personal message just to me and not sent out to every other Dave on his mailing list. But but I thought that was very slick, you know. And I've been a couple of times, and like, you know, this is, I think, the first time he's obviously got to the initial cost of mailing, and he gave me a £10 credit on my first bill by signing up to be a member of his Gold Club, and now he's sending out you know, the freebies and so on. But he knows what the lifetime value is. You know, you go along with four people, and that £10 pales into insignificance. It becomes a £100 meal without any problem whatsoever. Well, maybe.
Absolutely.
It depends what you spend, but you know, he knows what he's doing there. He's looking at the lifetime value of that customer. He's doing the right things there for sure.
And you've just touched on something that's also really important, not just in the hospitality industry, but in other industries, and that's the referral power, which is also worth measuring for a customer, because you then tell your friends, like you've just told all of us,
absolutely,
that you're in Jamie's, what was it, Gold Club?
Gold Club, yeah.
So it gives you a couple of things. It gives you a story to tell. It gives you bragging rights. So you tell your other friends because it gives you social standing, and it means you're having a conversation about his restaurant, and you're recommending that to other people to go to, and you're telling them about the value. And what do you know? They want to have the same social status as you, so they go along to Jamie's restaurant and register as well.
Or they want the same freebie. Yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, but, absolutely.
You know, it's way down. So again, you know, it's metrics. It's getting back to the theme here. It's metrics because you can measure all that kind of stuff. That's another metric. You know, referrals that you were saying about the list by the telephone. That would be another item to check. You know, is it a word of mouth referral? You know, who was that from? So you can follow back to see. You know, ultimately, you can follow back to see where that referral originated from, because they would have come from somebody that may have been the result of a Google ad or a radio ad or a website sign up or whatever, and you can work what is originally effective for you. So, you know, lead generation, I think you're talking about here, that's a metric. How many leads are you generating on a weekly basis or a daily basis? How many website visitors do you have? If you do an exhibition, as we were talking about in last week's episode, you might be monitoring how many business cards you get, how many of those business cards and follow-ups turn into a website opt-in, you know, a newsletter opt-in, turn into an inquiry, hopefully turn into a quote, turn into a sale. You might be looking at how many inquiries do you need to generate how many quotes, and how many quotes do you need to generate how many sales. That's all sort of interesting stuff, maybe. It's not necessarily vital. We'll come up to what's more useful a bit later on. But they're all things that you might be looking to keep an eye on. So, you know, conversion rates, number of visitors to your website, your exhibition stand, or telephone calls versus how many of those actually turn into newsletter signups or quotes or whatever, or inquiries, and the number of those that lead to a purchase.
There's one that we all measure, and I don't think that we even recognise that we're measuring, and that's how many of a particular product did I sell?
Yeah.
Because obviously, if you're not selling lots of it, then why would you keep selling it?
Why is it in your portfolio?
That's how it ends up. Supermarkets are very good at this type of measurement. They know precisely how many of anything that gets sold, and they actually use it to influence whether or not they will carry a product and put pressure back onto the suppliers for assistance with marketing, down to how much shelf space they get in a particular aisle. You know, you might be walking down your supermarket and see that, you know, particular tins of, I don't know, beans are three tins wide on the shelf, and yet the ones next to them might be six tins wide. Well, that's not just because the shelf packer has been a bit lazy. It's because that's how much they've allocated against their space. You know, that's all that supermarkets really have to sell when it comes to stocking, is how much space on the shelf do you get? Because the wider the space is, the more visible it is, the more likely you are to pick it up and take.
Yep, good one. These are all kind of metrics that have their uses. They are things that you address, I would say, backwards. They're the things that you come back to once you realise what the main metrics are at the end. So, you know, it's once you've worked out the big stuff, then you come back and look at how you can improve this and how you can improve that to ultimately have the biggest effect on the most important metric, sort of set of metrics, including stuff like the bottom line of profit and so on. You know, you're going to have all sorts of, you know, just back to leads, you're going to have things like email open rates. You send out an email to 1,000 people or 5,000 people or 100 people or whatever. How many of them are actually opening? Is the conversion rate increasing? Is the number of opt-outs increasing? Have you started to lose engagement with your subscribers. You know, perhaps likewise, Google Adverts. As soon as you start spending money, your interest in metrics goes up as well. You know, how many clicks are you getting for your ads? How often are they showing? What's the average cost per click? Is it a profitable cost per click? And what are the conversion rates and so on? Hopefully, you'll be doing A/B split testing at the very least of comparing one ad versus another and looking at sort of comparisons of those. What actions do people take when they get to your website from those clicks? Again, conversion rates. Are you looking for a straightforward, please click my advert, click straight through on my website and make a sale? You know, very nice. Or are you looking for opt-ins to engage with people over time and so on? So, you know, different things that you can measure, different things that either you or whoever is responsible for those items, areas of interest in your business will have their own interest in. You're going to be looking at things like conversion rates and sign-ups from an ad campaign and the sales from ad campaigns, that kind of thing in that case. And there are other areas. Have you got anything on that, Dave, before I sort of push through to the next?
Well, yeah, I was just thinking one of the things that we measure, because we were talking about conversions, is our website itself. We look at what people click on the website. So, and not just which pages, but, you know, where do they physically click on the website? We use a product called Crazy Egg to measure that, because sometimes you'll find that people are clicking on things that aren't clickable on your website. So if enough people are thinking that that is something that should be clicked upon, then it makes more sense to try and either change that element so that they stop wasting their time clicking on something that doesn't work, or turn it into something that will give them information and assist them through the sales process. But if you've got buttons on your website that people just aren't clicking on, so pages that they don't go to, then you've got to ask yourself, well, you know, do I leave it there from a search engine optimization point of view, or do I just get rid of it because it's useless and people aren't interested? Or do I fix it so that people are interested?
Something that people do click on a lot, which and are often unclickable items, are images. I use heat maps. I've used Crazy Egg. There's three or four other ones as well, actually. For anybody that doesn't know what a heat map is, it's a great little tool. When you use it and you go in to analyze the data that it's been collecting over the week or over the month or whatever, it kind of grays out your web page that you're interested in, puts like a grey overlay on it, and then it gives you a heat map of where people have been clicking. So if everybody's been clicking on one item, it will be glowing reddy, yellow, orange color, whatever, and the areas where maybe just a few people click will be yellowy green, and the areas where people, maybe two or three people clicked, will be blue or whatever, and the rest of it will be grayed out. And you can see, you know, you can really see where people are looking on your website. As David said there, it's an incredibly useful tool to really improve what you can do to the visitor experience on your website and make every visitor's experience more effective for you at the same time. So as David says, everybody's clicking on an image that's not a clickable image. If it doesn't lead anywhere, you know, they're obviously clicking on it for a reason, expecting it to take them somewhere. So why not make it do that and, you know, make it more effective? Anything else on that kind of front, David?
Oh, actually, another one that we use, Wisteer is the product, but we also measure when people are watching video, because I have a lot of video on my website. We like to know how much of the video people watched, where they dropped in and out. These are important things to measure as well, because if you're using video and people are only watching the first 10 seconds and dropping out, then that's, you've got a problem that you've got to fix. If they're watching it all the way through, if they're watching it multiple times, if they're sharing it, these are all things that you want to know as well.
Yep, you want to know what works and make the most of the stuff that does work and promote the stuff. If something's working, you know, either do more of it or promote the backside out of it, because if it's working for the audience it's already reaching, it's going to work even on an even greater scale for you, for the audience you haven't yet reached with it. If you've got a video on YouTube and people are watching it and you haven't done any other promotion with it, stick it out there on Facebook, stick it out there on Twitter, stick it out on a web post on your own website, even Google Ads to it. You want to get whatever audience isn't currently looking at it. If you've got something that is working, then you want to maximize it and increase it, so increase its exposure. So I mean, that actually was another one that I had on my list of metrics to cover, is content output.
Yes,
are you putting out good content? For a small business, this can be something that's as simple as, am I putting out one piece of content a week on my website, or one piece of content a day, or two pieces of content a week? Whatever your desired level is, you know, are you meeting what you set yourself as a reasonable target? If you use social media, and again you should be, are you using Facebook? Are you putting out a post a day on Facebook, an image a day with a link or whatever, or some useful content? I mean, we're not talking about putting out rubbish here. Are you putting out something that will benefit your business by increasing its engagement with your audience and increasing its reach? Are you putting something out there on Facebook that people will want to share? Are you doing the same sort of thing with Twitter? Are you putting out a tweet a day or two tweets a day? Again, with stuff that people would want to share and retweet. So, you know, you might be looking at measuring the responsiveness. How many likes is the stuff you're putting out? If you're putting out stuff and it's getting, you know, no likes and no shares and no retweets and no whatever, you're probably putting out dross that nobody's interested in. So it's, you know, time to think about what you are putting out. You know, maybe you're just putting out really boring stuff and maybe you want to think about changing that. So again, you know, you look at the numbers and you can do something about it.
I think it's important you apply Pareto's law, you know, the old 80-20 law, you know, because 80% of your income is going to come from 20% of your customers and from your effort.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're not getting a response and you're measuring that you're not getting a response, then chances are that falls into the 80% of stuff that you're doing that's not getting you a result. So focus more on the stuff that is getting a result for you.
Yeah, indeed.
That's a big mental jump to take because, you know, I think a lot of people associate proactivity and productivity as being the same thing. So they feel that just because they're doing something, that's a good thing and that'll make them money. But, you know, stick with quality, not with quantity.
Yep, indeed. I've got another one here. I mean, we're moving through these fairly fast because I think it's just good to give people an idea of what can be measured. And as I say, we'll come on to the all the big numbers at the end here. We're not far away from that, perhaps. But one is a support desk, a help desk. To a one-man band, this may seem perhaps unnecessary because perhaps you are the support desk, in which case you might want to think about relieving some of that load. This can be a huge improvement to you, actually. If you have a support desk, an automated support desk that people engage with rather than sending you an email directly or rather than sending Joe an email directly or Suzanne an email directly or inquiries at yourbusiness.com directly or whatever. You may have all these things coming in from different sources. Maybe people telephone you and so on. How do you actually keep track of what's going on with all those, even just sales inquiries or the kind of random inquiries that you get through having a website, like, you know, do you do this? Can I use your XYZ to do ABC and so on and so on. A help desk. There is help desk software out there that's relatively inexpensive, that's relatively easy to set up and relatively easy to use. And it will keep track of all sorts of things, such as the number of inquiries, the length of time it's taking to resolve those inquiries. Is it the same clients that are using it with inane inquiries? Who's taking up all your time on that? Are they actually, you know, and you will know from that, are they profitable clients as well? But you can actually start to measure it then and find out how much time they're actually taking. You can also use it. It's not necessarily an overhead. It can be a very profitable thing for you in that it provides one place for everything to get monitored, so you're not going to be duplicating effort. When something comes in as a query and, you know, it's not uncommon for maybe you to deal with it without realizing that they'd actually called in earlier and somebody else in your business is already dealing with it. Now, these things happen, so you can increase efficiency on that one. You can also encourage people to use it because by promoting the fact that they will get a better response by using it. You know, if you encourage people to use your help desk rather than always engaging with you, if they know they get a 1 hour or 4 hour or 1 day turnaround by going through your help desk rather than an inquiry that goes into your corporate ether, you know, it could be anywhere, and they get a response that could be anything from half a day to 2 days because, you know, maybe you're not in. Maybe you're on holiday when they send that query through and it bounces into nowhere. By giving them a better service through using your help desk, you can increase the efficiency for them and the effectiveness and efficiency for you. So it becomes a win-win all round. And you can then start to implement a frequently asked questions section in it, a knowledge base section in it. So they self-serve their own questions with automatically generated answers, reducing the number of silly queries. And if it's well done, you can encourage them to engage with you on a more productive basis. So they already answered their own queries, and now they're actually engaging with you with the sales queries, the pre-sales queries, whatever, that are actually going to lead to business for you.
Which I think actually leads to goals. And that's also an important thing, because if you've got a service goal, in terms of answering people's queries. So if a query is raised at 8 o'clock in the morning, at what point do you want to have that answered by?
Yep.
And that's the measurement that you're really trying to get out of having decent follow-up services. And it is the same with anything that you're measuring, is what's the goal? What is it you're trying to achieve out of this? At what point is the result acceptable? And at what point is it unacceptable? If it takes you 3 days to answer someone's query in your business, is that unacceptable? If it's answered within 20 minutes, is that acceptable? Because in some businesses, that may be unacceptable. You know, if you're standing in the queue at McDonald's and you've got a complaint, then 20 minutes is a bloody long time to be standing there to wait to get an answer. Mate, and 3 days is an awfully long time.
20 minutes at McDonald's is a long time anyway, mate. For anything.
That's right. And it is the same with, you know, monetary things. For example, at what point in the month do you want to break even?
I don't think there's one thing that we've mentioned so far in this that a small business owner won't have considered that. I mean, and that's leaving aside all the stuff like search engine optimization. You know, where do I appear in search engine results? How many people visit my site? How many people visit how many pages? How long do they stay on each page for? Do they bounce straight off? Do I have a high bounce rate? Da-da-da, all that sort of stuff. You know, how many links do I have? And whatever. You know, there's a whole SEO side of things as well. But as you were just about to get onto there, you know, what are the main metrics for a business? And once you look at these, then you can work back through some of the other stuff that we've discussed so far to improve these end result metrics. And the end result metrics are, what's your sales volume? How many sales are you getting in a month? How many clients are you getting in a month? How many new clients? How many repeat clients are you getting? What's the value of those clients? So what's your revenue and turnover for the month? And what's the profit for the month? And really, quite interestingly, this is the one that you can work on, because the more you work on this, the better it will be for you, which is, at what point in the month do you become profitable? At what point in the month have you covered your costs? At what point is everything that's coming in terms of a sale total profit for you, because you've got profit for that month, your costs for that month covered?
Mm.
Once you know where you are in a month and where you become profitable, if it's day 24 out of 30 or 31 days, you know, how can I make that day 23 next month? How can I make that day 20 the month after, and so on? And you really work on that. That's a fabulous thing to do. Now, there's different industries where you would expect it to be different. There's some low margin industries where you might not become profitable until the end of the month, and you'll kind of know those industries yourself, maybe from how many end of month offers they do to get your business in, because they know that if they can switch from being profitable on day 29 instead of day 30, they're going to make twice as much profit that month in an average month or whatever.
And obviously the later in the month that your break-even point is, the more dangerous it is as well. Because it doesn't take much to go wrong and shift you from day 29 to day 30, and
day
all of a
32.
Sudden your profit just slips away. In my industry, day 15 is break-even point.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of scope. But having said that, in advertising, there's a lot of scope for something to go wrong. You know, if something goes wrong in a media campaign and the costs need to be refunded, well, you know, and you've run 15 days worth of something that's wrong, that's a big problem.
Yep, and that's where you're looking at the metrics we mentioned earlier. You know, how often does that happen? Mm. What's the scale of it? Who does it happen with? Does it happen with the same people? Does it happen across the board? You know, all the things we've covered earlier on, they're going to be of interest. They are the things that you can tweak and improve and increase awareness of, and put measures in place to remove the crappy things that happen and improve the good things that happen, such that, you know, at the end of the day, that number one metric, at what point in the month do you become profitable, gets more effective and better for you as a business. You know, that's the one you want to work on.
Absolutely.
And everything else leads to that, basically. And of course, you know, as over the years, you'll be applying the same principles to annual points as well. You know, do you become profitable in June on a January to December basis, or do you become profitable the day before Christmas? Do you have a nice Christmas, or do you become profitable on January the 33rd, as you know, occasionally happens with some businesses? You know, do you have a horrible Christmas, New Year break or whatever? You know, obviously, different times of year apply to different folks there, I know. But hey, anything else you want to add on to this, David? Because I think we've covered a pretty huge topic and a really important one. And, you know, I think we've given a good flavour there of what people can be looking at, some interesting items hopefully for them to think about, and really with the end goal in mind.
Yep, and that's right, and that's the critical thing. If what day are you going to become profitable in the month, and everything else that you measure should be assisting you in changing that day. It's not measurement for the sake of measurement. It's measurement to help you become more profitable and to get more repeat business. So higher average sale, that's a measurement that you want to make yourself more profitable. So it's all about, how fast can I make this month profitable? How can I strip that day back? So if I was aiming for day 15, can I make it day 14? Because then you're going to go from having a profitable month to having a great month.
Yeah, there's the old adage that turnover is for vanity and profit is for sanity. And it's nice to be sane for as much of the month as you can.
Absolutely. So, yeah. All right, time to put the squirrels away, I think, mate. The bunnies are looking a bit tired.
I think so. Indeed. And time to start my day, time to wrap up your day, time to wrap up this episode, guys and girls. So we hope you've enjoyed this episode, hope you found it useful. As always, we'd love to hear your comments. You got any queries, any questions, send them to us either through emails on the links on the website, Facebook, you know, leave us a comment on Facebook, we love that kind of thing. Send us nice glowing 5-star reviews on iTunes. I think this episode deserves one in particular. If they did a 6-star review, we'd be encouraging you for that. You visit the website, leave comments there on the posts, etc. So the website is www.davidversusdavid.com. The Facebook site is www.facebook.com/davidversusdavid. And also visit us on iTunes. Look for David versus David. And as I say, leave us a glowing 5-star review. It'll keep everybody here happy, keeps us working away on your behalf to answer the questions that we know you like to hear about, and resolve issues and give you pointers and give you ideas and general food for thought. So from up here in the glorious day that lies ahead in the UK, it's goodbye from me, David Pritchard. And
from the Inferno Marketing and Design International headquarters, it's time to say bye-bye for now.
Goodbye, folks.
You have just been listening to the David versus David podcast with David Pritchard and David Council, helping you get knockout results with your online marketing and advertising. Please keep in mind that the ideas, opinions, and information shared in the show are those of the hosts and do not reflect those of their past employers.